Looking to pick up the next home run king?
High drive left field. Going back. Boom. Stand. Baby.
Or are you still trying to figure out who some of your guys are?
Paul Goldschmidt, and that ball is gone. Oh, wow. Upper deck.
Whether you're sifting through the waiver wire for sleepers or just trying to keep your team in the race.
He went onto the rolled up tarp. What a play by Nolan Arenado.
We've got your bases covered.
At the wall, leaping. Oh, a play! George Springer has just kept this game tied in the bottom of the 10th.
It's the Can of Corn Cast with Andy Greenberg on ArizonaSports.com.
My, oh my!
Welcome in once again. This is the Can of Corn Cast. I'm Andy Greenberg. You're listening to me on ArizonaSports.com. You may be finding me on Twitter. I'm at Andy the G. Got a podcast Twitter. It's at Can of Corn 987 for that whole 98.7 ArizonaSports.com thing. Hey, that's another place you can find me, ArizonaSports.com. If you really want, you can check out my podcast feed. That is podomatic.com/fanballweekly. Lots of fun there. Also trying to build up a little website. Still working on it, under construction. I put a link on my personal Facebook. If you want to check it out, you can. It's a Weebly website, so canofcorncast987.weebly.com, but that's a work in progress. You can check it out if you really want. So what do we have coming up on the show today? Well, we got the starting five, got some dugout chatter. I'm going to give you some tips and tricks for being a little bit more competitive and playing smart with your bench in fantasy baseball and how to do that well, especially on the hitter side, plus a little bit of closer advice as well. We'll check out the free agent pool, plus the on-deck circle. Got a pair of stud pitchers in the minor leagues, one at AAA, one at AA, about to make his debut. We'll find out who those guys are a little bit later in the show, but for now, it's the starting five.
The starting five.
Harper gets a big piece of this one to right field, and it is another Bryce Harper home run. He went down and got one, and that's number 12 to make this a 10-4 game.
Yes, coming in at number one, that is Bryce Harper, outfielder of the Washington Nationals, hitting .326 so far on the year, 13 homers. That leads the National League. 33 RBIs, 33 runs. That leads the majors and two stolen bases. Number two, last week's number one, it's Paul Goldschmidt, .341 batting average, 10 homers, 32 RBIs, 29 runs, and 6 steals. Number three, number one from 2 weeks ago, it's Nelson Cruz. He's hitting .348, just under the American League batting average leader, although it depends on how many at-bats you're going to give require for that batting average leader, but Cruz in the top two, .350, your leader. 15, that being Jose Iglesias. He's got 15 homers. That leads the majors. 30 RBIs lead the American League. 24 runs and a steal. Coming in at number four, a newcomer to the top five, first baseman for the Chicago Cubs, Anthony Rizzo. .349 batting average, 8 homers, 23 RBIs, 26 runs, and 8 steals as well. Number 5, been on this list the entire season, start to finish, it's Adrian Gonzalez. .356 batting average, 9 homers, 32 RBIs, 28 runs. Now, I wanted to mention Gonzalez with his .356 batting average, all those hits he's compiling. He is second in the National League in hits. The guys that lead the American League in hits all have 50. Prince Fielder, Jason Kipnis, Jose Altuve, and the National League leader in batting average, and I'm going to want to keep an eye on this all season, not only because he's on my team, but because he's pushing for that milestone, and it's D. Gordon of the Miami Marlins. He leads the majors in batting average, and he is hitting .425. It is almost the end of May, and D. Gordon is hitting .425 and connecting on a very regular basis, and he's had a lot of multi-hit games. He's number 10 right now, but this is the starting five, so we'll move on to the top five pitchers. Number one, Max Scherzer. He's 4-3, 7 quality starts, 66 strikeouts. That leads the majors, 56 and two-thirds innings with a 1.75 ERA, a .92 whip. Number two, he's been on this list all season. It's Zach Greinke, 5-1. 8 quality starts, 44 strikeouts in 53 and a third innings. A smaller ERA than Scherzer, WHIP as well, 152 and .86. Felix Hernandez comes in at number 3, another mainstay for the pitching. 6-1, 6 quality starts, got chased last night, gave up 4 runs last night being Saturday, as this is Sunday today. 55 strikeouts and 54 and two-thirds innings for Felix. Control was a little off. His ERA got bumped up just a little bit to 2.3. Still has that WHIP under 1 at .95. Sonny Gray comes in at number 4. He's 4-1, 7 quality starts, 53 strikeouts and 56 innings. Dallas Keuchel, number 5, 5-0, 6 quality starts, 42 strikeouts, leads the league still in innings pitched, as he has for most of this season, 57 and two-thirds. Scherzer, 1 full inning right behind him. As for the top 5 of the last week, combining things this week, we're going the top 5 players overall from the past week, and oh, look who it is again!
And there it goes! Right field, at the wall. Kemp, he can only watch it. Bryce Harper, number 13.
That was one of his 2 homers this week. You heard the other one right off the bat with his top of the starting 5. Bryce Harper's 11 of his last 23. That's a .478 batting average since we last spoke. 2 homers, 6 ribbies, 8 runs, 2 steals. Number 2, Jason Kipnis. 16 of his last 26 for a .615 batting average. A homer, 5 RBIs, 9 runs, and a steal. Number 3 is Corey Kluber, and it just took him 1 start to be number 3 over the past 2 weeks, and that's because he struck out 18 batters in 8 innings. 18 batters in 8 innings. He only gave up 1 hit. No earned runs, no walks. If he hadn't given up that hit, they would have let him go back out there. But with that hit, you can't get the no-hitter. So they pulled him after 113 pitches. Probably could have gone out there and finished off the no-hitter if he had it, especially trying to go for those 20 strikeouts. But the Indians thought, let's make sure he makes it to his next start. And they pull him after 8 innings, 113 pitches, and 18 strikeouts. Kluber leads the majors in strikeouts. Number 4 is your pitching number 1 from last bit. Max Scherzer, 2-0 in 2 starts, 14 innings, 1 earned run, 17 strikeouts. Yeah, in 2 starts, Scherzer gets 17 strikeouts in 14 innings. Can't really compare to Kluber there. 9 hits, 3 walks, that's good for a .86 WHIP, and only 1 run in 14 innings is a .64 ERA. Number 5, a guy that we should be seeing on these lists much more often, but this is the first time, I believe, it's Miguel Cabrera. 8 of 24 in his last week. That's a .333 batting average. Half of those hits were homers. That's a total of 4. 8 RBI, 7 runs, and 0 stolen bases. Those are your starting 5. If you're looking at that again, the hottest players in the game right now, Bryce Harper, Jason Kipnis, Corey Kluber, Max Scherzer, and Miguel Cabrera. Coming up next, tips and tricks and dugout chatter. I'm going to tell you how I prepare every day for my fantasy team and how I make sure that I never leave somebody great on the bench and I always get the best numbers out of my players. That's coming up next. This is the Can of Corncast. I'm Andy Greenberg, and we'll be right back.
It's the Can of Corncast with Andy Greenberg, only on ArizonaSports.com.
And rolling right along here on the Can of Corn Cast. Once again, I'm Andy Greenberg, your intrepid host. And the Can of Corn, it's an easy fly ball, and, well, we make it easy for you to win at fantasy baseball. And here we go with some tips and tricks. Now, I might as well not call this segment Tips and Tricks. I might as well just call it Giving Away My Secrets. But, you know, I do a podcast, and it would be so mean of me to withhold valuable information from my wonderful, fantastic listeners. So here we go. Number 1, I will every single day, I check baseballpress.com/lineups. You can see lineups from across the league. They're posted way earlier than Yahoo or ESPN post them or any of those fantasy sites. These guys get it straight from Twitter feeds, either from the team or from writers, and they put it right up on the website, baseballpress.com/lineups. I also like it because it helps me understand maybe some guys that might be making an impact pretty soon. Either guys hitting 7th, 8th, or 9th in the order I maybe haven't heard of, and I'll take a look at them, go look them up. Oh, it's great to learn about what's out there, too. Also, it shows the weather precipitation percentage if the game's indoors or outdoors, so that's really helpful. And, you know, if you see 70% chance of rain and you're debating sitting the guy, maybe do it. But maybe not, because you might be taking advantage of their My Lineups feature. Yeah, baseballpress.com/my-lineups. The best part about this is that once you log in, you can just add and subtract your players. They keep track of them, not stats, but who the opponent is, the opposing pitcher, as well as whether or not that player is in the lineup and what position they're at. So I will always look at that. I play with right now this year. I have two hitters on my bench. So I'm always checking this website to see if my guys are sitting, if they're starting, and I'll get a good chance. Well before I have any chance of cutting it close with the game, I'll be able to swap a guy in or out if I see if they're playing or not. Well, that leads me into part two, is if I'm not sure if I should start one guy or the other, because both the guys on my bench, right now my bench is Yasmani Tomas, plays third base and outfield, and Brock Holt, who is eligible at first, second, third, short, and outfield. So I can put him pretty much anywhere, Tomas either at third or in the outfield or utility. Usually my regular utility is a fourth outfielder, so I pretty much treat that as four outfield spots. Batting versus pitching stats, and it goes either way, either with the hitters or the pitchers. What I do is I have bookmarks set up, and the easiest way to do this is to just Google the player's name. For example, Adrian Beltre is my third baseman. So if I Google Adrian Beltre and then one word, bat versus pitch, BATVSPITCH, and I'll be able to see all of his information. That first link right there from ESPN, you pull it up and I can see, all right, Beltre and the Rangers are going against the Indians. He's had the most at-bats against Gavin Floyd. He's got 28. He's 7 of 28 hitting .250. Yeah, I'll probably keep him in there against Gavin Floyd. Look at maybe him against Corey Kluber. Well, he's 2 for 6. There's two singles. That's pretty good. I probably won't sit him against Corey Kluber. You know, be able to look at all these guys, look across the board and figure out, all right, is it worth starting this guy against this pitcher? And sometimes you might think, well, I don't want to start this guy against this great pitcher. And you look up the matchups and he's hitting .450 off him, so you definitely want to have him in the lineup. It's really helpful if you have a hitting bench and you're trying to figure out, well, this guy's been cold, maybe I should sit him. Get a chance to look at those splits, see how that hitter is done against the starting pitcher of that day. Now, it's not always perfect because you can look at your guy versus the team starter, but who knows how long that starter is going to be in the game. There might be relievers coming in. You might get two at-bats not against the starter that game. So it's always stuff you got to factor in, but it still is a very, very helpful resource to see how each batter does individually against each pitcher. And if you're looking for a spot starter, it's also great too. You can compare those two pitchers and how they do against whatever that team is going to throw at them. Very interesting, and it's not necessarily versus a team. Obviously, Adrian Beltre's played for the Rangers, the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Red Sox. It's all of those stats combined, not just with that specific team. And the third website that I thoroughly enjoy, it's Closer Monkey. closermonkey.com, a free closer help site. So if you're trying to catch up on closer depth charts, want to get alerts when there might be some changes, or even if you have a league that counts holds, this is an excellent resource for you. They send an email daily with alerts, and it also says if there's a closing change, if there's a hierarchy change, and they keep track of three deep on that depth chart, or just general news, or if a closer's on a hot seat. They also give you great vulture opportunities for vulture saves, like, for example, to say, well, Luke Gregerson has pitched each of the last three games, so watch out for Chad Qualls getting a vulture save, stuff like that. I think this is great. It's a pay site if you want it to be. If you pay for this site, they will give you all of the information in your email as opposed to you having to click on a link. So pretty easy to do that for free. They keep, like I said, they keep those updated depth charts and also let you know if a team is closer by committee. Again, completely free to use, closermonkey.com. So quick review, baseballpress.com/lineups and /my-lineups. Check that out. Really easy way to keep track of who's starting and who's not. Batter versus pitching stats, always an excellent resource to use, especially if you're iffy on whether or not you want to start somebody. You can look at the numbers. And then Closer Monkey, if you're looking for saves, you want to find some vulture saves, or if you're just looking for top relievers to get you a bunch of holds that might end up getting saved soon, that's an excellent site to use. So that's the end of the tips and tricks, or the giving away all of my secrets segment. Coming up next, we'll swim around the free agent pool, plus take a look at some hot pitchers in AAA and AA, soon to be debuting in the majors. That's coming up next. This is the Can of Corncast. I'm Andy Greenberg, and we will be right back.
It's the Can of Corncast with Andy Greenberg, only on ArizonaSports.com.
And we continue on the Can of Corncast. My name is Andy Greenberg. I am your host. I am keeper of Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew McCutcheon, owner of Jock Peterson, Jacoby Ellsbury, D. Gordon, and many, many more, including one of the guys in the shallow end of our free agent pool. His name is Noah Syndergaard, and he just finished a gem of a start against the Milwaukee Brewers. Had a great debut against the Chicago Cubs until he hit the sixth inning. He gave up three runs, all of them earned, but over the course of the start, he went 5 1/3, gave up three runs, six hits, four walks, a little high there, but he also struck out six. He was masterful through the first five innings, and he did it again today. This time he made it through six, five strikeouts, gave up one earned run, got the quality start, and he only walked one batter this time. So good for Noah Syndergaard. He is 60% owned, so that's a little bit of the shallow end of the free agent pool. He just was fantastic today. Got a little wild in that first start, really settled down. The broadcasters were calling him the boy with a golden arm, so we'll see how long he sticks in the Mets rotation. I hope it's for the rest of the season. Dylan G out on the DL. They probably are going to have to make a trade, especially because somebody else is right on his tail, and ooh, that sounds like a tease, because we're going to get to that in the on-deck circle coming up very soon. Swimming around in the free agent pool happens to be another guy I've got on my fantasy team. His name is Henderson Alvarez, and I wrote this out before he completed his start today, but I still stand by it 100%. He had a little trouble, went 5 1/3 innings, gave up six runs against the Atlanta Braves, struck out two. But Henderson Alvarez just came off the DL. He had a great start and an iffy start before he hit that time on the pine with the injury. He's not a high strikeouts guy, but last year he finished with a 2.65 ERA. First season over 100 strikeouts, he had 111. I think he's going to continue to be a low ERA guy, just needs a little time to get used to being back in that rotation. He'll settle down. I'm not worried about the start today, and hey, you don't have to either, because if you pick him up, he's got that behind him, and he'll be looking ahead. Head again. Based on the way their schedule plays out, it looks like he will be starting on May 22nd at home against the Baltimore Orioles. So keep that in mind as the Orioles will come to Marlins Park and face Henderson Alvarez tentatively on May 22nd. He is 38% owned. I think that he's worth picking up even after that rough start, and especially after that rough start. Nobody's going to want him, so it'll be easy for you to jump right on top. Swimming in the deep end of the free agent pool, a second baseman and an outfielder for the Texas Rangers. He is the son of Delino DeShields. It is Delino DeShields Jr., taken by the Rangers from the Astros in the Rule 5 draft, so you know that he's going to stick at the big league level, or else Texas has to give him back. Rangers have been playing him every day in left or center field. He's had kind of an iffy minor league track record, career 267 hitter in the minors, but topping that now in the majors, hitting 286. He ranks overall in the top 100 and is number 5 over the last 2 weeks, 12 of 34, a 353 average, 12 runs, 7 RBIs, and 7 steals over his last 2 weeks. And we go out to right center field. We'll check out who's swimming around in the Chase Field pool. Why, it's 12% owned. Aaron Hill. Aaron Hill, who had a putrid spring training, hitting well under 200, making everybody think that Nick Ahmed was the shortstop of the future, when really, the D-backs should move Ahmed to AAA, Aaron Hill to second base, and Chris Owings from second over to short. Because you get that shuffle, I'll go again. Aaron Hill moves from the bench to second base, Chris Owings from second base to shortstop, and Nick Ahmed from shortstop to AAA, or the bench, just however the Diamondbacks want to do it, and they can leave Yasmani Tomas over to third base until Jake Lamb comes back, and then they're really going to have a problem. But I'm here to talk about Aaron Hill. In the last month, Aaron Hill's hitting .346, 3 homers, 10 RBIs, 11 runs, and a steal. In the last 2 weeks, he's hitting .467. Over the course of the last week, he's 6 of his last 16 with a homer and 4 RBIs. So if you need second base or third base help, absolutely go after Aaron Hill. He did not play today because he was a little bit sick. He did not play yesterday. That would be Saturday or Friday. He was a little bit sick. He's coming back. It's all right. Yasmani Tomas got him sick. Well, at least that's what I'm guessing. Tomas sat out the other day. So does Aaron Hill. And he's back in it as the Diamondbacks lost today to Philadelphia. But Aaron Hill, 2 for 4. They got shut out, so he didn't have any runs or RBIs, but he was still 2 for 4 with a double. Aaron Hill, an excellent pickup for you if you're looking for second or third base help. On to the on-deck circle. Got a few guys waiting that you need to know about. One, if you hear this on Sunday night or on Monday morning and your league allows for same-day ads, you got to go get Lance McCullers, starting pitcher of the Houston Astros. If you're in my league, sorry, I already got him. He's 8% owned. He is also the son of a major leaguer who holds the same name because he's Lance McCullers Jr., son of Lance McCullers, who pitched in the majors from 85 to 92. As I said, he is starting Monday. And instead of sending him to AAA, the Astros have decided, the first place Astros have decided to bring him up to the big league level to face the Oakland A's. And the A's might not want to look at his AA numbers because they are terrifying for hitters. Granted, this is AA, keep that in mind, but it's very impressive. He's 3-1 in AA. He has pitched 29 innings. Okay, remember that. 29 innings, he has 43 strikeouts in 29 innings. That is nearly a strikeout and a half per inning. Impressive. 0.62 ERA, 0.90 whip. That means he's given up 15 hits in 29 innings, 2 earned runs, but he's walked 11 batters. That's a little high, but he still has only given up 2 earned runs, so those guys haven't really come around to score. And his batting average against is .146. These are microscopic numbers. Yes, it's AA, but these numbers are just, they speak for themselves. You need to go get Lance McCullers if you're looking for that spot start. And, hey, maybe a streamer because he's going Monday. Astros might start him again. If he goes Monday against the A's, then it looks like the Astros would then start him again probably against the Tigers. Maybe against the Orioles, probably against the Tigers based on the way that the rotation runs out, and it depends on whether or not they keep him up for more than one start or not. But Lance McCullers starting for the Astros on Monday against the Oakland A's. The other guy I was talking about, mentioned him earlier when I was talking about Noah Syndergaard, saying the Mets had somebody else coming. Yeah, and he is not just knocking on the door. He's trying to break it down. It's Steven Matz, starting pitcher, 2% owned. And I surmise that if Lance McCullers had been moved to AAA, he'd have the numbers that Steven Matz is putting up. And I just need to clarify, and you might remember that I said this last week about Noah Syndergaard, but Steven Matz is pitching in Las Vegas, one of the most hitter-friendly parks in all of the minor leagues, really in all of baseball. It really is. It is high elevation, and he is dominating, as was Noah Syndergaard. Steven Matz, 4-2. 54 strikeouts in 50 innings, a 1.8 ERA, a 1.06 whip. His career ERA in the minors is 2.24. This year it's 1.80, career 2.24. Whip's a little higher because he's walked 19 batters, but he's only given up 34 hits. Steven Matz pounding on the door saying, "Let me start at Citi Field. You don't need anybody else but Syndergaard and Harvey in that lineup. Nice, trade him. G, trade him. Montero, trade him." Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard, Matt Harvey. That is the starting trio of the Mets and it better be by the end of this year. I will be shocked if the Mets don't find a way to bring up Steven Matz, or it's even possible they find a way to bring him up and then trade him to somewhere that's going to let him pitch every day, because that guy needs to get the heck out of the minors and into the majors. Hey, we made it to the end. Yeah. That's it for this week's episode of Can of Corncast. I'm Andy Greenberg. I appreciate everybody listening. You can find all sorts of my stuff online at Andy the G, at Can of Corn 98.7. You can also check out canofcorn987.weebly.com. Yeah, putting together a website. All right. I got the podcast embedded there. Also, fanballweekly.podomatic.com for the podcast feed. If you're on the podcast app with an iPhone, just search Andy Greenberg. There you'll find me. Can of Corncast. Very exciting. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with so much more fantasy baseball advice. But until then, let's play ball!
The Can of Corncast is brought to you by ArizonaSports.com and 98.7 FM.
Hey, Lloyd, do some delivery for the truck to the airport.
Thank you very much.